development of the 400 cooperatives that were funded by the department since its inception, as well as an intervention plan to support those cooperatives and make them sustainable. We have two items on the agenda, which is the consideration and adoption of the minutes of our previous meeting, and then the briefing by the department. We will start with the apologies. Are there any apologies?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, DG and colleagues. I received two apologies. First one is Honorable Nokhane Mthembu, who is went home for some problem in a constituency. And also I have received an apology of Mr. Bewa, who is running late. He said he'll join us. He's running late. He's caught up in traffic. And then the last one is Mr. Mwabe indicated that you leave at 10 to have a meeting with the speaker and 1 hour meeting, and then you come back to join us if the meeting will still be on. Those are the apologies that we have received. Thank you. Oh, Mr. Kapa is also, will be leaving at 12:30. Oh, I'm seeing Honorable Misho also leaving at 12:30. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we then go to item number 2, which is consideration of the minutes of the meeting of the Portfolio Committee, which was held on the 17th of May, 2017. We are on page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Honorable Kruger.
Ma'am, just a follow-up on point 4 about the Mpumalanga oversight visit. I just want to know the way forward with ICAD. Are we going to discuss ICAD proposals as a cooperative in Dr. J's Barocca, or what is the way forward?
Can we first adopt the minutes, and then if it is a matter that is arising, we can then raise it under matters arising, Honorable Kruger, as part of the Mpumalanga visit. We are on page 3. Can we have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Mabaso. Can we have a seconder? Honorable Mwabe.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to members of the department. I second the adoption of minutes.
Thank you very much. The Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development has adopted the minutes of the meeting which was held on the 17th of May 2017. Thank you very much. Can we then move to the next item? Okay, which is the matters arising? Honorable Kruger.
Ma'am, yeah. To repeat myself, I just want to find out about ICAT. their presentation that they gave us and the possibilities and potential of sealing the roads in rural areas. What is the way forward? How are we going to implement this project? Thank you.
I should think that it shouldn't be a question. Maybe it should be a proposal. You introduced ICAT here. What were you thinking of? And what are you proposing we do?
Madam Chair, yes, I didn't prepare myself for a proposal. So maybe if we can then just park it for the moment and then discuss it at the next meeting if the committee is happy with it.
Honourable.
Thank you, Chair. I want to accept what the Kruger-Rand is saying, Honourable Kruger, that we park it for the next meeting, but I would further propose, Chair, that as you have pointed out, maybe as a person who came with who introduced ICAT to us, if you can come with some proposal so that we are able to engage. I'm sure when he was presenting, presenting the company to us, had something in mind. How can we work with these people? I think if you can prepare something, then we'll engage. But he must lead us as this is his vision. Thank you.
Any other comments? No comments, thank you. Honourable Court.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I was thinking that we do not have to leave at the hands of Honourable Kruger alone. So if we have got something, let us also prepare and come with proposals.
So you are proposing that all of us should think of how they would take it forward. Is that what you are proposing, Honorable? I think it's one and the same thing, Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. I also believe it's one and the same thing. Only that sometimes it's necessary to have emphasis. Because what here, because I want to say that the presentation was done to the committee, and therefore as a committee we do have ideas and some opinions about it as a committee. Therefore it means such things are the ones which are supposed to come with in the next meeting. Not necessarily. Maybe Honorable Kruger can take a lead by giving his own or understanding and opinion, but it is the responsibility of us as a collective to come. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I also see it that way, that it doesn't limit the discussions to Honorable Kruger, but Honorable Kruger will present his views, and other members will also come up. How I look at it. Thank you.
Ma'am, just the date of that meeting, I know I said maybe next meeting, but unfortunately I'm writing an exam next Wednesday afternoon, so I will be occupied the morning just to go through my notes and what have you. So if you can do it the meeting the Wednesday, in 2 weeks' time, in other words, if it's okay with the committee.
That request is accepted. Thank you. Can we then move to the next item? And before the department just want to give a background as to what informed the thinking that we needed to write a letter to the department and ask the department to present to this committee a progress report on the 400 cooperatives that had been funded by the department since its inception. And the progress report that we wanted, we were very specific that we want the department to present to us the development impact of the funding. And the reason for that, for us to ask that kind of information, is that in all the presentations that were made by the department on the strategic plan as well as the annual performance plan, the performance indicators were not talking to the impact. Performance indicators were talking to what the department gives out. And when we were doing oversight to the 12 cooperatives in KZN, we also realized that the follow-up by the department on what the department would have funded was the post-disbursement. They were following up on whether what was supposed to be delivered by the service provider was delivered in terms of the irrigation system, fencing, equipment, the installation of those things, provision of pesticides, provision of seedling. And so the follow-up was only limited to what the department had funded, not what the funding does in terms of development. And we thought that that is not what the department was supposed to focus on, because the department is not a funding institute which provides funding and then it is measured, its performance is measured in terms of funding given to cooperatives and the service provider having provided what was given to, what was funded by the department. That is not what the department that is not the mandate of the department. If the mandate of the department was to dish out funding to cooperatives, it would have been named as such. The mandate of the department is to champion development of SMMEs and cooperatives in this country. And funding is just one instrument amongst many other instruments that are required to develop SMMEs and cooperatives. But what we had also identified was that even that funding was not taking care of all the needs that we see, and also cooperatives themselves are putting in front of the department. But what was more touching for me was that the people that apply for funding, members of cooperatives, are human beings like ourselves. They also require a place to sit when they have lunch, like we do. They also require to go to the toilet, like we all do. But in the funding criteria that is provided by the department, there is not even a provision of a toilet. All that is funded is the fencing, the irrigation system, the pesticide seedlings. So the human need of those people is not taken care of, forgotten. They are not human. They don't have the needs that we all have. When they sit and eat, they can sit on the grass, according to the thinking of the department, exposed to the sun and exposed to the rain when it's raining. And I don't know whether poor people have different needs from the needs that we all have. When nature is calling on them, they don't need to go to a toilet. That's the thinking of the department when they are actually crafting and designing a funding. But what was also touching for me was that there is a department in this country that is charged with the responsibility of providing water and sanitation. And this Department of Small Business Development is mandated to sign transversal agreements with other departments so that those departments can then bring in the required services by members of cooperatives, which are beyond the mandate of this department. But this department, again, failed to negotiate that with the Department of Water and Sanitation, so that if this department doesn't have funding to provide a toilet for cooperative members, then the department that is mandated to do that is able to do so. What we also wanted to see was whether the department knows that planning happens at local government level. So it was not going to be possible for the Department of Water and Sanitation to provide for a toilet if the project was not appearing on the IDP of a municipality where that project is. So, but then we all went through the documents, because the department is implementing programs. It assumed the functions that were done by DTI and other departments towards development of cooperatives. And DTI had produced a report in 2000. 2009, which indicated the failure rate of cooperatives in this country, 88% failure rate. So the report then that we wanted the department to provide to us is a report that would indicate to us the understanding of the department, that the department has provided support services that are going to respond to the felt needs of the cooperatives, also being mindful of the fact that whatever has been done since 1994 in the process of developing cooperatives yielded 88% failure rate, and therefore we couldn't continue to do such things. So the briefing that we are expecting today is a briefing that indicates to us that the department, over and above providing the CIS to cooperatives, also responded to other felt needs of cooperatives. And then the department is aware of the progress in terms of the impact of what has been provided and is able to then intervene and make sure that cooperatives that have been funded are sustainable. So that when we move forward, we don't only focus on the performance indicator of what has been given, but we focus on the performance indicator in terms of the impact, the change that has been made. Particularly on job creation, also on poverty reduction, and also the reduction of inequality at community level. So that is the background to this presentation. I'm saying this because we are going to engage on this report and commend the department where it is necessary, and also ask hard questions where it is necessary, and then make the recommendations that the department has to take seriously and respond to, so that we don't only dish out resources, but we make sure that those resources are effecting change at the people who vote us to come here and represent them. Over to you, DJ.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and Chairperson, thank you for providing that context. If I just can commence with some apologies. Minister, there's a cabinet meeting this morning, so ministers in cabinet, and deputy minister is participating. There is a meeting in Morocco of an international federation of cooperatives, and the deputy minister is leading the team to Morocco. I said the team to Morocco. We have reorganized the department in line with our APP. So we now have a branch on integrated cooperatives, and Jeff Dumour is known, well known to this committee, was probably our specialist in cooperatives. He is also not available. He was invited and sponsored participation participate in a capacity building program, which is part of the UN 20 Cities Sustainable Development Agenda. And so Jeff is attending a course in Bangkok, Thailand, on promoting evidence-based policies for cooperatives. So those are that, and Z is acting and in Jeff's position, he's standing in for Jeff, and he will do the presentation. And Chair, all of which you have said is correct. We don't dispute a single one of those issues. And so I think in addition to what you've said, there's also been, I mean, some of our research says that there has been a reduction, contrary to what is happening globally, there's been a reduction in the contribution of cooperatives to the economy since 2011. The contribution of cooperatives was 12.2 billion. By 2015, it was around 7.1 billion. And even the CIPC, when this the cooperative, the focus of cooperatives started, they actually established a unit to promote, in order just to have a specialized team that just looks at cooperatives. And they have found, too, that the registration of cooperatives has declined. So I think one of the other questions that we also have to ask, we do not have the answers, but that we're grappling with, is there was a boom in registration, and then there's a decline. And what is that we should be doing around that? So what my colleague will share is that since we were required to present to the committee on the 28th of February, we did not present on that day. It was a very difficult and uncomfortable meeting, and the committee stated its expectations and asked us and provided advice as to how we should approach the task. We had the view that the way to approach it was to do it as a research project, where you take a sample, a representative sample, and do a thorough investigation in that. Committee held the view that we must engage with each of the 400 cooperatives. And the department simply did not have the capacity to take all of its staff and let it just focus on that work from the time we got that instruction from the cooperative, from the committee. What we did was to engage with district municipalities. We wrote to district municipalities. At least by that time, we had already begun to establish a relationship with a few district municipalities, particularly those where the 12, where the Abalimi cooperatives are, and others where we have done some work. But we wrote to all of them formally, and attached to that a list of the cooperatives in their district. And my colleague will report on what the response to that has been. We also took the view that we have an entity that accounts to us. And one of the performance areas on which CEDA regional branch managers are monitored, measured, is they are required to have functional and productive relationships with municipal and district municipal allow me, I'll just ask Z to present.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'll take you through the outline, which talks to the purpose, the background, the approach to the intervention plan, the inclusion of co-ops in municipal IDPs, which I think the Honorable Chair put an emphasis that in order to realize the impact, we should adopt an integrated approach. And then I'll also focus on the findings and then conclude with lessons learned and conclusions, and then the DG will take the way forward. On the purpose, obviously it's very clear the committee wanted progress in respect of the intervention plan, which talks to the development status of the 400 co-ops funded by the department, but also the DG mentioned that this work couldn't be presented in the last quarter of 2016 as information was not readily available. So between then and now, at least we managed to fast track the process so that we can present what has happened. Now, I think in terms of the background, we pulled out from what the portfolio committee visit in Mpumalanga, which kind of informed us. It was a good basis to inform us of what are the findings and the recommendations the portfolio made out of that visit. And the aim of that oversight visit, I think, was very clear, also to understand from the 12 cooperatives what is their status. And again, I think those findings find themselves in the bigger picture of the 400 co-ops that were funded by CIS. And in its oversight mission, the committee observed, amongst other things, that all the 12 co-ops were not known by the district and local municipalities, and therefore couldn't benefit from any rollout of the programs, including, I think Madam Chair mentioned in particular, infrastructure. If someone wants water or something that is needed by the enterprise. And furthermore, these cooperatives had experienced various challenges, ranging from infrastructure, financial and non-financial support, which hindered their development. And therefore, the committee made those recommendations. So it's against this background that we are making this a briefing to the portfolio committee. Now, the approach to the intervention plan, following the recommendations, I think DG alluded to the fact that we needed to engage key players in order to fast-track the process of gathering all the data, given the limited capacity in the department. So CEDA and the district municipalities were identified as key players in conducting this work. And so introductions were made, DG wrote letters to all the district municipalities where these cooperatives are based, and requested the district municipalities to consider integrating or including this project in their IDP processes. So those letters went out from the 20th of April, but CEDA was also requested on the 8th of March to start the process of going to each of the co-ops so that we know exactly the status of each of these co-ops. So the letters were accompanied by a list of cooperatives, so broken down by district and town, just to make it easier for our partners to locate where the cooperatives are based. And I think some district municipalities have responded to the request by seeking more information. In following slides, we will just highlight some of the district municipalities that have responded to us. And I think immediately they made those requests for further information, we responded to them. And so the process of following up with municipalities that didn't respond was also triggered, just to find out if they had received the letters and if they are considering our request. So over and above exploring the key aspect of including cooperatives to the IDP, DSPD, through its local economic development directorate, also negotiated with municipalities to support cooperatives, because we're aware that the LED unit is also doing work with district municipalities. So we felt that was also a good approach to incorporate what they are doing as part of our thinking, so that we can approach all the district municipalities with an integrated approach. And further, as we mentioned, CEDA, through its branch network, was requested specifically to establish and maintain strong working relations with district and local municipalities to leverage from their close proximity, because it's easier for a CEDA branch in an area to establish that a working relation with the municipality, so that a joint program could be established. And from our side as the department, we formulated an assessment tool that was then given to CEDA, so that it could help CEDA to gather the information, because we obviously didn't want people to go to these cooperatives with no guidance. So there was a tool which sought to collate information such as the demographics, the nature of business, the nature of support that the cooperative received from the department, but also from other players. So we felt, let's not just focus on CIS as instrument. I think in the report you will note, we noted there were cooperatives that also received support elsewhere, so which was very helpful. Business infrastructure, market access and financial indicators, such as the turnover, number of employees, and so on. So this tool was then, as we say, accompanied the list of the 400 co-ops, was sent to CEDA so that they can deploy, CEDA could deploy its human resources to visit these co-ops. And so CEDA then compiled all the reports and then sent them to us so that we can consolidate. Now, Chair, let me then talk specifically to the question you raised of our awareness, that in order for us to see impact, it's important that we work very closely with district and local municipalities. So these are the district municipalities and local municipalities that have these 400 co-ops, kicking off with the Eastern Cape in Alfred and Zoo. The Alfred and Zoo municipality has received our request, and I think it was only when we made follow-ups, as we said earlier on, not all of them responded immediately, so we needed to trigger out a process of following up with them. And the feedback we have is that the municipal manager requested the head of the local economic to consider our request. So we are hoping, Chair, in all of these matters, by the time we get to the office, at least we will receive confirmations from these municipalities. It's obvious it has been a struggle, because when we started now with the process of following up last week, it became difficult to get hold of some of the managers in the districts that we have listed, the Amatole, Krizani, Jogabi, our time. But with Buffalo City, again, using our connections through LED, we spoke to the Enterprise Development Manager, Ms. Kole Lomachiza, who actually said, even if the cooperatives are not incorporated in the IDP, as a municipality, Buffalo City Municipality has programs to support cooperatives. So we've requested her to consider that, and that she can also do that in writing, so that we will record all the commitments that municipalities are making. Next measures were available to confirm, so the team in the office is continuing to do follow-ups. And similarly, I think with Gauteng, we've just requested the team to just chase all the managers so that we can get all the inputs in place. And I think with the help of the local economic development unit, they've deployed two interns who are helping us to do the follow-ups. And with KZN, slide 9, fortunately, their chair, I think as DG alluded, because of the work that the portfolio committee did in KZN, partnerships are developing there, and we can report that to date, two districts have actually signed the memorandums of understanding, Ilembe, and I think it's Ilembe that has signed the MOU, and Ugu district. The other districts, chair and members, they are also working on the nitty-gritties. In fact, two of my team members are currently in KZN this week to fast-track the process of finalizing the MOUs, but also setting up the project steering committee meetings. In fact, by tomorrow at Umgungundlovu, the first steering committee meeting is taking place. And the good news, the chair and members, is that with Umkhanyakude district, they actually confirmed in writing that all the four cooperatives will be integrated in the IDP. Further on with KZN, I think they still struggles with some municipalities, but Utukela was one of those municipalities that responded to us requesting further information on what is it exactly that we would like them to do as the district. And I think I personally responded to Utukela, stating three aspects: the aspect of funding support, the aspect of non-financial support, but also linking the cooperatives to market access opportunities. And with, I think similarly with Zululand, that request was also made. And eThekwini, chair and members, as you know, eThekwini is also one of those municipalities we met, and they have a copy of the MOU. So my team, hopefully when they are back Friday, will be able to get an update on how the councils in the municipalities have concluded the MOUs, because I think it was a process for them. There's various committees, MINCO, council committees, and so on, where the MOUs have to go through. Northern Cape, no response as yet, as well as Limpopo province, with the exception of two districts, Vembe and Waterberg, where they've made requests to us, and we've subsequently responded to them to give them all the necessary information that they needed. And with Waterberg as well, we did the same thing on the 16th of May. And with Mpumalanga, Chair, I think whilst Ehlanzeni hasn't yet responded, Hertz Band responded to us that they will definitely include the Mamalizo Farming Cooperative into their IDP, so that's a positive news for us. And the next slide, again with Nkangala, I actually had a personal discussion with Mr. Matimba, who also wanted further information, so I briefed him on the 18th of May, and I believe I'm awaiting his response to all the information that we supplied to them. And with the Northwest, I think one district that responded to us was Ngakamudiri, Mulima, and I think again they promised to us after we gave them information that by end of May they will give us a feedback on our request. And the Western Cape, chair and members, unfortunately, the team is still chasing managers to get hold of the relevant people who can give us concrete information. Now, Chair, we can then move on to the summary of the preliminary findings, where we, as I say, we developed the tool and we gave it to CEDA for them to meet each of the cooperatives. So here, Chair, we just want to give the committee a sense of how work is happening and what are the gaps and what is it that we need to do to enhance or improve where there are gaps. Starting off with the KZN, you will note we do indicate Utungulu has 14 cooperatives, and then we give a status of whether the 14 cooperatives in that district, are they still operational, are they not operational, are they profitable, what are the issues, because the issue of it be raised of impact, I think it's very important. So you will note then there's a report that five co-ops are operational and some of them are doing extremely well. As DG said, the results are uneven. I think when we got the first report, Chair and members, we actually got nervous because the first report we saw was not so positive. So we even thought it was going to be the trend. But I think as more reports were coming in, we actually realized that the story out there is not so bad as we view it. Of course, challenges have to be acknowledged, but I think the reports we received indicate that there's actually co-ops that are doing extremely well. And the six that are not operational, obviously, I think it's the challenges that Chair mentioned of infrastructure, that someone would have a farm, and where there's a farm, there's no water. So it causes a problem because the equipment will be delivered by the department, but because there's no water, that particular enterprise then is not operating at the enterprise. And I think, Chair, you will also note there were instances where we note these co-ops could not be reached. And I think you will see in our own lessons that perhaps the CEDA should have also escalated the matter so that if they can't get hold of the one member that is on the list, they should have requested the department to provide telephone numbers of other members. And Ugu District, one co-op is operational, whilst waiting to secure funding to complete a structure sponsored by the Department of Agriculture. And so this structure is not complete, and the co-op is really unable to proceed with the work. And I think we mentioned those that are not operational. It's due to lack of access, market access, assets destroyed by a storm, and lack of water. And in this particular case, the co-op even sent us pictures of the water tank that was destroyed by the storm. And in Herigwala, the list does indicate that one co-op that was supported through ICIS is doing well, and the other cooperative is obviously not operational. Again, I think reasons are similar in all of these cases, except those where I think we picked up where a member died or there was something tragic that happened with that cooperative. And eThekwini, five cooperatives are not operational in eThekwini. Unfortunately, the CEDA report didn't give us a status of the other three cooperatives. So that's something we will still have to follow up as the department. And in Gauteng, Chair, I think the reports that we got from Gauteng seems more different from the KZN reports, as they actually indicated a lot of positive co-ops that are operational and are profitable. So there were instances where they will write the turnovers, that this is what the co-ops are doing. So City of Joburg, eight co-ops are operational and 23 could not be reached, and only three were not operational. So again, that 23 figure there seems a big percentage, 68, but I think if we were to zoom specifically and get hold of them, you might find that perhaps some of them are still operational. as you see the trend with the city of Tswane, Ekurhuleni, and Citibank, the co-ops, it appears majority of the co-ops are operational, and the challenge only was those that the team on the ground couldn't reach. And again, with Gauteng, the picture that shows majority of those 7 co-ops in West Rand, 2 of them are operational. We only need to get hold of those where we couldn't reach in order to establish again their development status. And in Limpopo, Chair, I think again as the picture there was more positive for us because majority of co-ops in Sekhukhune, Waterberg are doing extremely well. I think in Sekhukhune the 2 that were not operational was again due to lack of water. They really needed to access water in order to do their work. And in fact, in Waterberg, as I reported, we've been in discussions with the municipality. The co-op there has an incomplete chicken house, which was started, the building started, but they just need to finish off that chicken house so that they can continue with the co-op. So that's one matter we've also raised with the district municipality in Waterberg. And in Mpumalanga, Nkangala, Ehlanzeni, you will see, Chair and members, that the 5 co-ops in Mpumalanga, they are doing well, and I think we do have case studies of positive impact, how this assistance of DSPD is really changing lives, and I think we have co-ops that are extremely grateful to what the government is doing, just to give them support, though it is little, Chair. I think people agree that the amount of 350,000 is really a drop in an ocean, considering the needs that they have to start their business, especially for startups. Ehlanzeni, again, it's a positive picture. Out of 12, 8 cooperatives are operational. There's a co-op who declined funding and applied for another funding, though the department gave them, approved the application, but they felt there was no market for their product, so they actually turned down the funding but decided to apply for another project. And in the Northern Cape, 2 co-ops there are operational and are receiving non-financial support from SEDA. I think, Chair and members, Northern Cape is another good case study for us because it again shows what you were talking about, that it's not just DSPD's instrument. You need other players to plug in. So we do see SEDA in the Northern Cape playing a very proactive role in supporting the co-ops that are in that province. So I think, Chair, we can also use Northern Cape as a case study to inspire other provinces to also consider roping in other key players, so that not only funding we focus on, but that CETA can focus on non-financial support, because training for these cooperatives is very important. There is no business that will be successful if they do not attend or acquire just general basic business skills. Northwest, Bujanala district, again, Chair, there, the picture in Northwest is also a positive picture, which kind of impressed us in the department that not all is bad. So you do have provinces that are doing exceedingly well. So the co-ops there are receiving all the support. Again, I think in Gagamudiri, the co-ops that are operational, 2 though did mention we're doing well, but there's challenges. If we can only be helped with 1 or 2 things, they will really do profitably well. And the Western Cape, unfortunately, there for Cape Wildlands, the status of where the co-op is wasn't specified in the report, and because the report kind of confused us, because the same overbet. So this co-op not only is focusing on rendering its services to the domestic market, but they are busy looking at export markets. And I think there's a whole lot of other players that are assisting them to make sure they acquire all the knowledge on international trade so that their products can hit the international market. So I think that case study, it's one that we need to lift up as the department. Lessons learned, DG, shall I give over to you here? I can proceed to the way forward. Oh, you'll do the last one. My last slide, lessons learned and conclusions. We actually acknowledge that it's always difficult to conclude on the status of the co-ops, given that not all information was given to us at the time we prepared the presentation. For example, the Eastern Cape province, I chased for that report, and at the time of writing, I think the report was not there. Therefore, the picture, so you're not able to see a bigger picture. Free State as well, there were things I had to question in the report, so I asked the CETA to give us some credible information so that what we present is really credible. So overall, as DG said, the results are uneven. We thought the situation is really bad, but actually on receiving reports from Gauteng, Limpopo, Northwest, Western, we actually saw a picture changing. Co-ops are doing well. Of course, there are those that are struggling, as we mentioned. I think Mamuche is right. If you link them to other players like water and sanitation, we will see a different picture in the co-op sector. And I think we noted co-ops in Mpumalanga and KZN having certain struggles there. So again, it shows us that if there are certain struggles, we may have to strengthen the partnerships we have with the district, with the municipality, and other key players so that Mpumalanga and KZN can also see progress. So it appears there were gaps in accessing all the cooperatives. I think I mentioned the chair and members that because the list of 400 possibly had one member, so if the guys conducting, they don't get hold of that member over and over again, they didn't escalate that to us. And so I think that's a lesson we've picked up, that perhaps if there are five members, whoever is following up should have all the contact details of the five members so that at least we can get through to someone. In case a member has changed the phone, in fact, there's an incident of a member who died, and that member was listed on the 400 list. So so you can imagine then the CETA should have just requested numbers of other members. And again, I think there were gaps in the collection of information, as some of the information was not collected. And I think in the template we gave them, we specified what type of information we want. So on receiving the reports, you could see, for instance, turnover is not included. And then I needed to go back to the people who collected the data to find out, is turnover not included because the co-op didn't disclose, or was it because of other reasons? What were the reasons why some data was missing? So there was clearly lack of post-investment support. I think, Madam Chair, in your introduction, you mentioned that whoever does post is only focusing on verifying the assets, is not necessarily looking at the performance. And so I think with the tool that we've designed, that tool is going to pull out performance results. So it's not just whether a machine was delivered, but if the machine was delivered, now who is your market, how are you doing, what are the profit margins, how many number of employees have you employed since you received the support, and so on. But also, to some extent, Chair and members, we also observe that pre-investment training was also lacking. People were given the CIS without having attended any course whatsoever. So I think that's an area then we felt in the department. Let's recommend that whoever applies, at least as a prerequisite, they should have undergone some governance training or some business management. any other commercial bank. If you don't have a market research plan, they might say, but do you have a product? Whom are you going to sell it to? So in our case, we find people designing a product, and then they get stuck because they produce tomato, and tomato is there. No one is buying the tomato. And so we also pick up, chair and members, that due diligence also should be improved so that when the team goes out to sensitize cooperatives to apply and they understand, they should just map out the whole value chain. So not approving, or rather approving a project, whereas you know there's no water, it's a problem, because you give the person a grant, but then they can't access water. So in essence, you're setting those people up for failure, because they're still going to sit with that equipment. So that's another lesson we've picked up. And majority of the co-ops, or in fact, the word majority is not correct, but we, our point is those that were not profitable, we've observed the challenges that range from lack of good governance training, limited funding, because we give them a dripping, or rather the machines for those that are in product in farming. But we find they need other infrastructure that support that infrastructure. So that's another challenge we picked up, lack of access to markets and general business management skills. Then my last point, Chair and members, whilst CIS is viewed as a progressive intervention to assist startups and the only grant to support cooperatives, it has never been reviewed to assess its impact on cooperatives. So that we've also observed it's a problem, because surely whoever designed the instrument and implemented it, after 3 years, they should have had an impact assessment study commissioned to assess the impact of this program. So we are noting all those lessons, Chair and members, and hopefully this will take us
I can do the last slide and start by way of apologizing. I use the Apple notebook, and for some reason, in the Apple notebook, it would pick up spelling errors on some pages and not other pages, and with my old eyes, I could not see all of this. So I'd like to just request indulgence for us to correct it and send a final version to the committee. If I can just start with the last comment that my colleague made, and I think if you look at it historically, CIS was a progressive move at the time when it was initiated, because it was the first grant introduced by the DTI, and I'm just looking here what the objectives of the grant was at the time, and two of the three criteria says it was to assist cooperatives to acquire their start-up requirements. And secondly, to build an initial asset base for emerging cooperatives to enable them to leverage other support. So the CIS was never intended or seen as a vehicle that will supply all of the needs of cooperatives. But as you said, Chairperson, as we took it forward, we should have assisted and taken the lead in leveraging the other support needed for viability. I've also just looked at another slide and looked at the eligibility criteria. And your comment of the CIS and what support we provide is not adequate to provide a physical infrastructure, whether it's for administration offices or for evolution blocks or et cetera, et cetera. And the eligibility criteria of CIS states very specifically that it does not provide for the cost of capital. And so I think I'm joining my colleague that then in our view that while it was conceptualized in a particular way, it should have been reviewed. So
The other slide that we also needed was like including in the final presentation, we actually looked at that whole population of 400 cooperatives. And that analysis showed that, in fact, 75% of that, those 400 cooperatives are in the agricultural sector. And if we were to make a difference, and I think it's only about 17% that is in the manufacturing sector, and if we wish to go forward and say, so which sector do we focus on, then I think it should be the agricultural sector, as the committee has recommended. And interestingly, our summary also says that 53% of the cooperatives funded are women owned. I think we can also improve the presentation to you. Besides just the numbers and the matrix, there are a few case studies as well. And interestingly, again, the case studies of those that are doing well, and the one is the Ikwezi vegetable and poultry farm in Mpumalanga, and the projects that are doing well precisely because they've been able to unlock support from other sources. For example, Ikwezi got the grant from the DTI in 2010, but they subsequently received another grant from the NDA for 2.3 million rand. They were able to, also affected by drought, etc., they are now currently supplying Pick n Pay and Spar in Nelspruit and Malalani, and they also employ about 49 people. So if I go to that, I'd like to put in those just to some of those summary slides besides the matrix. So what is part of the way forward? And there, I want to say this is our initial thinking, and we stand to be advised by the committee. We have introduced, with effect the 1st of April, a new branch, the integrated cooperative branch, which is headed by an acting TD chief, which is Jeff Ndomo, who is the chief director. And all the functions that we have around cooperatives, CIS, cooperatives training, research, including M&E, stakeholder relations, so partnerships in order to build those partnerships, all the transversal agreements, the take-off agreements, etc., have been, it's part of this branch, so we can forge an integrated approach. And part of that integrated approach, and what I forgot to insert in there, is that in last year, we introduced realizing our limited capacity and taking advantage of the fact of the CEDA network, we introduced the pre-investment support visits are being done by CEDA, and that has resulted in a much quicker turnaround time in the applications process. And even though this branch isn't optimally resourced, I think when we were here in February, it was basically Jeff and a few people. There wasn't a single additional director. There are additional staff. It's got additional staff, but it does not have additional budget, which is a critical point. Hence, any innovations that we introduce in this year, innovations in our approach, will have to be funded from the same budget. It will have to come from the budget that we have for CIS and the budget that we have for training. We have applied for a deviation to Treasury.
such that the three pilots that we have, the Abalimi, the New Generation of, and Nwaneli New Generation Project, and the Women in Maize, because we realize that with a cluster approach, other resources are needed through the lifespan of that. And but the implications of that is, if we take 11 million, or between 11 million and 15 million, for each of those clusters, it effectively means that we will fund less cooperatives this year, because we're doing it from the same verse. That there's a formal review we have previously reported that has been commissioned of the CIS, and the report is due later this year, and we're trying to speed that on. We have, Chairperson, since last year already, been working, and we've been aware of these limitations, because you'll remember that these limitations of the CIS, of BBSDB, etc., were pointed out by the program review that we did. The program review said, this is an important instrument, but upscale and restructure and review. And so there is a formal review underway of CIS. And then we've also, I mean, there are best practices elsewhere in the world, and many other, in order to develop a new strategy, we just don't depend on one piece of research. And therefore, we have begun to work on an integrated cooperative development strategy, which has been presented to Minister. In fact, so the Minister can provide strategic and political guidance, but the Minister has met twice just with this team, the cooperatives team. And what we will do with this strategy, given the portfolio strategic approach that we presented to the committee when we presented our APP, we will embrace that approach in this strategy, because it will redefine roles in this. Because the portfolio, honourable members will remember, we had a slide in our APP and we said, this is in this portfolio, this is the role of the department, and this is the role of the entities. And so we will, it's work in progress, and we will come back to the committee on that. And but we are pushing that the unit of work should be completed by the 30th of June, such that we have a business case to be able to put to National Treasury somewhere in around the third week of July. We put our E&E budget bids forward, and so that we can make that the formal submission for a budget bid. But so those are just some of, I think I attempted to put this forward to say what we have presented the committee with is an uneven picture and that we acknowledge all of what the committee has said, the limitations in our model that we've provided finance, and we, our post investment engagement has literally just been post disbursement visits to see whether the things that we provided money for were funded, and then that was it. And so we're proposing a way forward to adopt a different approach, and I will conclude our presentation there, Chair.
Thank you very much. We have just asked NOMSA to check outside if the tea is ready, so that we can then break for tea if it is there. And if it is not there, we will then continue. Pardon me? Okay, the tea is not there yet. We will then continue and take questions and comments from members. Honorable Kruger, followed by Honorable Mabasa.
Honorable Measure, Honorable Chance, and Honorable Cabo.
Thank you, ma'am, and thank you, Department, for the presentation. Chief, when the Minister first announced that 88% of all cooperatives fail, I think it was a very serious announcement. And I don't think this presentation of today takes that seriousness into account. Because this presentation of today, and it might be my own opinion, doesn't give us any insight of what's actually happening outside there. Because it seems like this report is predicting the minister and yourself of the 88%, because if you look at the cooperatives that failed in the presentation, it's not even close to 88%. That's the first thing. And the second thing about our concerns, and I'm talking about the committee concerns in the report of our oversight, it was clear that there is officials that benefit, it seems like, that there's officials that benefited more from the CIS grant than the cooperatives themselves. So I thought it's necessary, or I think it's necessary in a report like this, we need to know how much money was paid by CIS, firstly, and how much money or how much value did the cooperatives receive? And I miss it in the report, because I think that is the place where we must start off. And to receive a report, Madam Chair, that say managers have been out of office of meetings, I mean, what kind of report is that? And then, the second one is saying managers have been out of office for meetings. So I'm very disappointed myself. As I say, it's my opinion, and it's not a, if 88% of cooperatives failing, and if cooperatives is the government's strategy to create 90% of the 11 million job by 2030, we can't move one inch with a report like this. Because 88% of this cooperatives is going to fail. And if we don't know where these corporates are, and if we don't bring decent reports to this committee, I can't see how it's going to work, Madam Chair. I'm very sorry. I'm very disappointed. Thank you.
Honourable Mabas.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chair. Thanks to the team led by the DG. My question is, when I look at the reports, it has a column, province, municipality, co-op, status, but what I think should also be there should be another column that is informed by the status, so that the departments must say, having noted or guided by the status, this is our action, or this is our plan of action, so that it must not end by informing us and not moving a step further to say the action we shall take or the action that shall be taken is this. The second one is those cooperatives that cannot be located. successfully selling cooperatives such that it is seen as a viable vehicle of addressing the triple challenges? Are we appreciated as a department by the public? When people consider starting businesses, etc., do they say, hey, we wish to start cooperatives because of, you know, 2-3 reasons or so? So let me stop there, comment chair, for now.
Thank you. Honorable mention.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must also voice my disappointment in this presentation. It does not give one hope that this 88% failure rate is going to be improved. Also, this presentation does not show the agency in the department to solve the problems that are there with the cooperatives. Touching on the issue of managers not available also, I want to know if these managers, as we are told, were in meetings. Were these meetings taking place the whole week, the whole month? And could they not make follow-up calls, phone calls, to get the response of the managers? Because we think it is very urgent to solve the problem that the cooperatives are facing. Now, a number of them obviously could not be reached. And my question about that is, was it because of inaccessibility? And if it is because of inaccessibility, how were those cooperatives expected to access the market? Because if the officials could not reach them, how would they be able to reach the markets with their products? It seems like money is being thrown at these cooperatives without even finding out where they are, whether there is a need for their products. The cooperative that did not accept the money, I think, should be commended when they realize that they do not have the market for their product. But I think it is the department's responsibility before dishing out money to make sure that the product that they want to come up with is needed, it will have a market. In Sidibeng, we are told that equipment was not delivered. The cooperative is not operational. It has challenges because apparently the equipment they were supposed to get and use has not been delivered. Now, can we be told where that equipment went to? Was it paid for? And why was it not delivered? The last comment I want to make. While we have noted the lessons learned, the issue of criteria of who qualifies, I think is very, very important. One does not understand that it takes more than a year after money has been given without making a follow-up. Has the money reached the intended recipients? Has the money done what was expected to do? So that if the money did not produce what was expected, that an early intervention would take place. So it is a disappointment, Chairperson, that the millions have been sent to people, to cooperatives, and have not produced anything tangible. And then my last question. Now, when money has been given to cooperatives and they cannot find market for their product, are they going to be held accountable for that money? We know that in Mpumalanga, there are 4 cooperatives who are told that they owe SIDA 20 million. Now, many of the people who own those cooperatives are struggling, poor local people. Who's going to pay back that money? Is that debt going to be on their heads
don't think it is fair that millions should be given to people when the giver is not even concerned whether that money is going to help or is going to be a burden to people. I'm sure that much of this money that has been has now become a burden because the poor people now are owing because there is no market, they were not guided, they cannot access water, they cannot access many things that they need to succeed. So my last question on this one is, ultimately, who has to pay back this money? Should the officials that gave us that money take responsibility for even throwing that money at a place that they did not know does not have required tools to do the job? Or is it going to be those poor people who are going to be blacklisted for failing to pay, for example, the 20 million by those four cooperatives in Mpumalanga?
Yes, I think I reiterate what colleagues have been saying. And I mean, I think it's clear that since the CIS was conceived, it's been very easy to dish out the money. It's been much less easy to assess impact. And I think that what is clear from this presentation is that we don't have any hard facts at all to go on. And what Honourable Kruger said, how much money has been spent, how much has actually gone through to these co-ops, and the financial performance of the co-ops. And it seems that when the CIS was conceived, there was no real intention of assessing the viability of the businesses that were supported. In fact, I don't think that in many cases they were even seen as businesses. They were just seen as some sort of community-based activities that would somehow receive government support forever, whether it be through contracts or whatever. And the grant was never really seen in the context of a bigger business plan. So when the grant money was dried up, in many cases the business dried up. The business actually had no right to exist in the first place. And, the constant references to support and funding as the reasons for these co-ops failing just illustrates very, very clearly that most of these co-ops are not businesses at all. Because how can you be a business if you're constantly requiring support and funding? Business must sustain itself through making profits. And if those profits in a co-op are not, handed back to the shareholders, fine, but it still must be sustainable through generating profits. So the review of the CIS is absolutely urgent. And I'm surprised, DG, that when you were appointed, you didn't flag the CIS a very high-risk program for this very reason, because the amount of information coming back was virtually nil. I'm also a bit concerned about the timing disjuncture between the strategic review on the one hand, which is supposed to report in June, July, and the review of the CIS. How can they not be run simultaneously? Because clearly the CIS is a very important part of whatever is being reviewed. And DG, who is doing the review of the CIS? Is it being conducted by the department? Or is somebody else doing it? And I'm just worried if it's the department, can the department be unbiased in its assessment of one of its own programs. When we were on the oversight visit, it became quite clear that the CIS was not talking to the cooperative support unit within the department. and hopefully the formation of this new branch under Chief Director Jeffrey Nduwa will begin to address this issue, you know, creating a synchronized, joined-up approach to support. Another question is, what is the status of the discussions with Treasury about the formation of the Cooperative Bank and the Cooperative Development Agency? Because I think I pointed out in the previous meeting when we were going through the report, it's like having a three-legged stool in which there's only one leg, which is the CIS. Without the two other stools, the two other legs, the stool cannot remain upright. It's impossible. And in fact, there's a very disconcerting similarity between the statistics relating to the survivability of co-ops and the survivability of land restitution claims. And the same factors come in. It's pre-screening and post-investment support. Many of these people, whether they are claiming land or forming co-ops, do not have the requisite skills or resources to be able to run these co-ops. So, you know, whilst it may be nice to say, yes, we funded 400 co-ops, it's not so nice to say, well, most of those are failing. And actually, I think that it's incumbent upon you as a department, DG, not just to do this review of the 400 co-ops that have been funded since the formation of the department, but what about all the legacy co-ops that were funded under the CIS, under the DTI's oversight? I think that it's absolutely vital that this committee is presented with that information as well. Because we know we're talking about thousands, potentially, hundreds of millions of rands of money. Assessment tool that you've provided to CEDA, why haven't we seen any hard data coming out of that assessment tool? Sounds like it's a good idea, but it seems to be not spitting out the info that we're needing. When do you expect that info to be forthcoming? And finally, would you not think it makes sense to locate CIS within CEDA itself? Because it seems that you're virtually outsourcing this project into CEDA's hands because you don't have the capacity as a department. And as a program, again, the department has, I think, accepted that there should be a greater emphasis on the agencies and the entities' implementation of programs as opposed to the department itself.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also join colleagues in thanking DG and DG on the report. The unfortunate part, DG and DG with the report, to me, the first part is that it says to me that it is possible to do this job. I repeat, I believe that it is possible. It indicates to me that it is possible to do this job of the, which is the information that is required by the committee. Now, there are a few questions now. I only hope I won't miss any one of them. Or the first one is, maybe this is not only referring to the department, maybe we can share this also as a committee to the staff. There's that part in our minutes of paragraph 4, where we are talking about recommendations. I do sense that maybe it was a shortcoming that the actual somehow it should have made it surface in the minutes, not only in the recommendations, as an actual resolution of the committee, because it has got an impact on this. Linked to that also is the fact that what worries me is that I don't see this anger which emanates from that oversight in Mpumalanga, which I have learned and read from the members of the committee their frustration about this thing. But I feel that even the department who have put funds there and made people to get money, to me this should make you also very angry that how could we put money and then it disappears and people do not account. Because I am sure that as a management in the department, you are not responsible. Actually, you are supposed to be doing your best to correct or look for the ways of correcting that situation. So, which is linked with the findings of the committee in the oversight, because in my understanding, that was very serious in Mpumalanga. Now, and also, there is somewhere there in, I think in page 17 or slide 17, there was an indication of a success. It would be interesting to me that you try and find out what would be the reason of this one being successful, of this project being successful, so that such lessons should be useful. Or was it funded in a better way, or was it more organized so that such lessons should be useful to correct all these processes? That one. Now, the failure rate of the 88%. I know that the 88% failure rate is the national phenomenon. But if we assess how much would be the share of this department in that 88%, are we the major contributor, or there's another contributor in all those who support it? Because the co-ops are everywhere, IDT, agriculture, and so on. But now, this 88%, I know is a national phenomenon, but if we gauge how much would be our contribution as a department in that one. But furthermore, I would like us to be able to find some reasons where it has been us who are supporting the projects, or even if we assess others, then some reasons and possible remedies. Because if we are able to say, to find the reasons why are they failing, it is likely that we can have proposals of this is how it can be solved. We can add this, or we can reduce this, or we can stop this. Because now I think we have reached the time of we should no more be lamenting, but we want this to be done. Now, you are suggesting that this job could be finished by end June. I would like you to make a commitment which you will not be able to sustain in the future. Please do yourselves a favor and weigh properly whether this can be done, that this can be finished by end June, because I can see that there's a lot of work to be done. But I know that by end June, strategy that can be used. You see, in other departments, people make use of interns and other people who can make work to be done. But I think something to be done so that this work should be done. Because once more, I say, it indicates to me that it is possible for it to be done. It's only that we have to put more effort, put more faith. Now, lastly, on the information that the committee was asking from you, in fact, it's beyond asking, it's demanding from you. On the information that the community is demanding from you, it seems to me that you should design a tool that will give all the information. For instance, here, if you have someone who must gain that information, I think if maybe you say, when you have a province, now besides now what you wanted from the local municipalities, but now for the presentation of the information that we are requesting from you, you have the project and its type in each province. You also have the locality or the location of that project, including whether it does exist, the entity, because there are several cases where you can find that we have funded something which does not exist, or have funded something which is existing in different names. Also, I would think it would assist us if we were able to be told that this project was funded so much. This is the nature of funding. On top of that also, after that, we need now that impact. In that impact, there are specific things that we need there. One of them is that infrastructure. Infrastructure in this case, as the chair has indicated, it cannot omit the shed, which will also provide the shelter. It cannot omit the toilet. Those are things which are basic that must be there from the field start to start. And the inputs, because there are inputs in here, if it's agricultural, therefore you will have inputs. The HR implications, whether people are being employed or they work as being self-employed, because also that part has got a lot to do with the failure rate. I can assure you that any project that you assist, whether you give them 2 million, if you say, here, I give you 2 million, go and work on it, then you'll get something and put it in your pocket and put it something on table after you have produced from that 2 million. I can assure you, all those projects have died because when people are funded, they want something that at the end of the month, they must take something home. Because if you say, this 2 million, you are going to put infrastructure, you are going to put inputs, but those people will be there for 12, 18 months, having got nothing that goes to them as persons, as human beings. It won't work. They have died, I can assure you. I can assure you, that's why at some stage I experimented by when budgeting for the project, I included the incentive, the one that is an other, that is what you call it, that Arbine, what is our English name, that Arbine thing, the allowance, stipend. I'm just saying on the Russian name now, the stipend. Those are the things, those are real things. So that's why I'm saying then you can find out what exactly kills the project. Because if people don't have anything, they will, until the next election, you think you have given them 2 million. The 2 million is the fence, it ends there, and then with that fence, they employ people, not for them, they employ other people, they pay them, they stay there, holding arms. It won't work. Or they plant, hailstorm comes, destroy all the crops, that year is gone without a crop. So that those are realities. So I recommend that then, despite all these shortcomings, get the commitment that this must be done. And it's also, when you give us the report, I think it would assist if you say, you go to a province, access information from so many and here it is, so that we can be sure that something is going, because this is not the only work to be done with the department, but at least this one, which has been specifically requested from you, let it be done. Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks, Chair. Let me just apologize for coming late. I've just received some sad news last night before I go to bed that one of my very close comrades in my region got shot. So I'm very disappointed and hurt. And on top of that, I'm looking at this report. Allow me, Chair, not to comment because I'm very angry even about this report. So I might be saying things that I will regret tomorrow. Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks.
Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. Also, thank you for welcoming back. I left that meeting. This was a very informative meeting, but I have to leave and come back here because I was very interested in this meeting, on this report in particular. Well, let me join my colleagues here to say I'm also disappointed about the report. I hope I won't be angry as Honorable Begwa seems to be fuming about this report. But I think he's correct, Chair. But as a person who's always frank, let me just say, this is not what we're expecting. This is not a status report we're expecting. I will push for a proposal, Chair, that the department redo this report and come to us with a proper report. To me, this is the same report, if maybe Honorable Chance this, that kind of an English, of a same report or a same information. Chair, you cannot dish out so much money and you come to us and say some other corporate can't be reached, and there's no corrective measure that you are telling us. We should just accept it as it is, that it can't be reached. But someone reached the money that was ditched out. And, Chair, I think, Mina, you see, Brother Mjalifa, in township, they were going to say, frankly, ayikho lendini. That is what they were going to say. Let me elaborate. Take, for instance, Uthungulu. You have 5 co-ops that are operational. Then we have this weight, Chair. Some of them are doing extremely well. Then my question, what do you mean of extremely well? Because we want the report here. There's something like other cooperatives are profitable in Northwest Gauteng. What profitable? Because we should be getting something to say in 5 or 14 cooperatives. If these 5 are exceptionally doing well, you should be saying they are supplying Spa with tomatoes, and this is how much they are getting. This is the staff they have employed, so that we are able to see that at least in that 5, there are some lives that have been changed. You should be saying to us, these 5 that are doing exceptionally well, one is specializing on livestock, the two are in agriculture. In that agricultural ones, these are supplying cabbage, these are supplying spinach. That's the kind of a report that one is expecting. If you say they are doing exceptionally well, full stop, and then you must clap hands for that, Because something happened in Mpumalanga. We saw that painful stories there. And I'm even shocked that there's one co-op in Mpumalanga that received a car, a van. I never saw that. I remember the tractor in another one. But also, Chair, to say that now the department have identified that there was a lack of past post-investment and pre-investment training. You ditch out the money first. After that, you realize that you're supposed to train those people before you ditch out the money. What are you telling us? Majority of co-ops are not profitable. What are the corrective measures? What are those? Why they are not profitable? You cannot come with that sentence and that's a full stop. And then we must say that's the status of the 400 cooperatives. And there's this thing that the letters were written to CEDA for CEDA to go and look for those cooperatives and provide the information. What are the department doing? You dish out the money and then you go and look for another person. Hey, Kruger, go and get the information whether are they doing well or not, but you are the one. I want to be frank and say, DG, there is no patriotism in your department. We are talking, when I was debating Chair, I said this department must operate on the slogan of touching life, touching people and changing lives. Because if you look at the NDP, this is exactly what this department must do. But this jump sale of funding, you come and grab and disappear and it's okay, cannot be accepted. You know, DG, even those cooperatives that are successful, as you are claiming, I doubt that they are branded well. The name of the department. We've been in the bushes and all over during the over. You can't even see the signage to say sponsored by or funded by. You are not even marketing your own achievements if you are achieving. How do you expect the public to say yes? This department was relevant. This is what it was doing. Even if someone is passing there by that bush, but that signage to say, these spinaches, small business development department is involved. I do not know whether you have the branding and marketing in your department or you are still going to open that unit. You are not selling yourself. But finally, Chair, let me say, I do not think that we should take this report seriously. I won't be convinced up until DG I get specific information to say out of these 400, 300 are supplying Woodwards. Mjalifa and the gang cooperatives, they are supplying fruit and veg. They are supplying Woolworths, they are supplying Pick and Pay. That's a kind of a report that would make me to say, but on this 400, we've really changed lives. But for now, Chairman, I'm still waiting for a proper report. This is not what I want. I'm sorry to say that, but you cannot come to me and say, 10 are extremely doing well, and that's it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable.
I'm also disappointed whether the statement was correct that the consultation started last week in trying to find the information that was earmarked for today's meeting. To me, it indicates that the department will only work when you invite them that you need this kind of information. So apart from that, they cannot do anything. I'm also not convinced with this kind of report because it tells me of a cut and paste not in their offices, perhaps they are in meetings. And that is really not respecting this committee. Let me go to the Mpumalanga one that is indicating that there's actually nothing that stands in, no response as yet. Can I pose a question there? Were we not with the officials when we were doing oversight in Mpumalanga? Because to my understanding, a week before we went for an oversight in Mpumalanga, departmental officials were there moving all around in all those cooperatives. Do you really mean that we have to accept this and say, really, this is the report that the department is supposed to be giving us? Really, the department is not doing justice in terms of this one. I would love it if the department would say, yes, we're trying our luck with this kind of report. Really, this is not a report that is supposed to be dished out today. Then my mind will be a little bit restful and thankful to the department that moving out from here, they are going to do something and work on whatever mandate that they have as a department. So I'm submitting that person because I'm also angry at this report that it was really done overnight and to move away from the committee, because even if it was done overnight with the respect of the committee, they were supposed to include timelines as to when is this supposed to be done if they're saying they did not get information. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can okay. Before we break for tea, let me also share my view on this report. I don't know whether the department has seen the report of the Portfolio Committee on Oversight. There is not a single report that is 20 pages produced by this portfolio committee. And if we were to do it on PowerPoint, it would be more than 150 slides. But a report of a department to us is only 20 slides. And the 20th slide is in actual fact, the information that we are looking for is contained in 17 slides, because the first slide is saying it's the briefing to the portfolio committee. So, and then the second slide is the presentation outline. So the actual content that we are looking for is contained in 17 slides. And the portfolio committee goes on the field, spends 5 days, and produces a report that is 49 or 53 pages, with a more detailed information than what has been given. A detailed information that points out the challenges, and a detailed information that speaks about the real status of those cooperatives. But I want to remind the department, particularly DJ, on how you responded to a question that was asked by Honorable Chance when you first joined the department. Honorable Chance asked a question as to whether the department would want the portfolio committee to assist and kind of influence the direction of the department. And the response from the DG was saying, I would like to work with my team and you do your work. Not in those exact words, but separation of power. But also, the DG said she hears in the department about this model developed by Chairperson. And she would want to have a scientifically researched model or strategy. My reading of what was said by Mr. Charles, Honorable Charles, was that all of us seated here, we have experience, we have knowledge, and we are prepared to share that knowledge and experience with you to make your work. And you totally rejected that, did you? Your response on that day was, leave us, we will do this in our own way. And just hold us accountable, because that's what you are here to do. We did not do that because we care about the voters that voted us here. We did not leave you to fumble. We guided you, although you had rejected our offer. On your first two slides, you are admitting that what you are doing, you are actually guided by the portfolio committee. You follow the portfolio committee. What you are doing comes from the portfolio committee. In KwaZulu-Natal, you are shaping your strategy on the basis of what the portfolio committee is saying. In Mpumalanga, I don't even think that you have read the whole report of the oversight visit to Mpumalanga. Because in your report, you are still attributing some successes. And in our view, what we have seen in Mpumalanga is a disgrace and an embarrassment. It's actually wasteful expenditure. In your report, you don't say anything about the service providers who are providing shoddy work. There is not a mention of the service. In your report, technical skills don't feature. whereas the biggest challenge is the technical skills. I'm very, very angry, when I'm not just angry, I am very, very, very angry. What makes me to be angry is that there is already a report, 2009, pointing out to the failure rate. And even on this year's APP, the CIS is still the support for cooperatives. I still need to understand what are these non-financial support services that are provided by CEDA. If CEDA can only go now to those cooperatives. So what has CEDA been doing all the years? And what was the responsibility of CEDA when you provided the funding? If only now CEDA was then given a tool to go out and gather information on behalf of the department. Even that letter that you wrote, DG, it was after I had phoned you and advised you to write that letter. Because I could see that the time was running away. The municipalities are going to conclude their IDPs, and all these cooperatives will not be included in those IDPs. And there is no one who did not know that there was going to be elections in August 2016. And immediately after the election, there were going to be an IDP process. There's no one who's sitting here who doesn't know that a guiding policy for transversal agreements is the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act and the Integrated Development Planning. That is what is going to trigger all services. Every person who works in government knows about those two. But we had to repeat ourselves again and again and again to the department that was resisting. What makes me happy in this is the acknowledgement of the department that in actual fact you are responding to what you are saying. You have seen that we are not seated here just to receive information and we don't have any know-how. We don't know about the places where we come from. We don't know anything about development of cooperatives. We don't know anything about development of SMMEs. Our parties would not have deployed us in this portfolio if we did not know anything. I am of the same view that this is not what we wanted. We wanted a report. A development status means how many people are employed, what skills they have acquired, how much are they earning. To me, it can't be doing extremely well. When we were in Mpumalanga, we came across a cooperative that was established in 2001, and they are still earning 1,600. None amongst us here who earns 1,600? None. Officials in the department have been getting performance bonuses. For doing work that produces an impact of 1,600 rand a month from 2001 up to 2017. People that are employed by that cooperative are earning 900 rand. The members are earning 1,600. And that cooperative, Kangaroo, has been funded by three departments. And a person who does not go into detail would be very excited when going to that cooperative, because you would find many chicken houses. And you will go to their office and find the certificate of Farmer of the Year. And I want to understand, Kuti, people who give such awards to those cooperatives, what criteria do they use? A Farmer of the Year that still earns 1,600 rand. Mina ngifuna sibe patriotic, as Honorable Ncube is saying. I want us to be patriotic, and I want us to understand that a cooperative are not just a by the way thing. In 1969, the ANC, which is the government today, had a conference in Morogoro. And in that conference, they discussed the kind of an economy that South Africa will be. Will an ANC government pursue a capitalist economy or a different economy? And a decision was taken, no. They asked the question, will the ANC pursue a socialist economy in South Africa? And the answer was no. Then they asked themselves, what kind of an economy? They arrived at the question, an answer that says, we will build a mixed economy. This is 1969. And this economy will have three pillars. One of them will be state-owned enterprises. The state will have a very effective role to play in the economy. The second pillar will be the private sector, those who subscribe to capitalism. The third pillar will be cooperatives to promote community-owned enterprises. That is what the ANC arrived at. The ANC is in power today. So cooperatives are not a by-the-way thing. More especially, the establishment of this department is not a by-the-way thing. It's because the African National Congress, which is the government in this country, is implementing the Freedom Charter, Clause 3 of the Freedom Charter. The wealth of the country shall be shared amongst the people. Two, it's implementing the Morogoro resolution. They are building a mixed economy. Three, it's implementing the 53rd conference resolution. Radical economic transformation. Now, we can then, when we are doing that, when we are dealing with one of the pillars for building a mixed economy, we then say, no, they will be given CIS. They are doing extremely well, but we can't unpack and say exactly what we mean by extremely well. So let us go and have tea. Nicabange kahle impendulo enizosinikeza zona. Because there are more questions than answers. Akufuneki la sibonise ukuthandana, asingathandani ngabantu. Asizelanga la kuzothandana ngeyimpilo zabantu. Into esiyizele la is to change people's lives. Asambe sokuzithi. Ten minutes.
The work started in September at a time when the report, I think we were only able to give the committee the report in around October, because the first report which was produced by the department was not adequate, and I asked for further analysis, and eventually there was a report which produced the matrix of, I think at that time it was around 358 cooperatives, and some analysis of that, for example, in which provinces, etc., etc. We also indicated that
there is no report that has presented. There is no report that has been presented to the portfolio committee. None. You asked for an extension and a only invited this year. You appeared in front of the portfolio committee this year, and you were not read. You asked to be given more time. Nevertheless, we discussed, we shared our views on that day on the basis of the fact that there was no report. You were then given time to go and prepare the report and bring it back. So what we were expecting you to do today was to present that report. In my letter, the word progress, relates to the progress made in the development of cooperatives and their status as of today. The word progress does not refer to the progress that you have made in collecting the information. That word progress was there even in the first letter that was written to you. And we were of the view that when you were asking for extension from September to this year, and you came beginning of the year, you asked for an extension, we gave it to you, you were then working. But nevertheless, we continued with our work and conducted oversight. And for me, it is even surprising that in giving your background information, you are then referring to our oversight. Meaning that the portfolio committee must go and do oversight, and then the department must take that information and then produce a report and then bring it back to the portfolio committee. Which is what has happened actually, DG. In the past, the officials from your department would phone King, the committee secretary, and ask him for a report of the portfolio committee, because we are asking for a report from the department. Meaning that we are actually working for the officials. Can carry on.
Let me ask my colleagues to respond to the questions that were raised, and I will take the balance of the questions. And Z, can you start?
Thank you, DG. If I start with Honorable Kruger, he's not here. The 88% of co-ops.
If a member of this committee asks a question, is asking a question as a member, not as Honorable Kruger. So you are not responding to Honorable Kruger, you are responding to the portfolio committee, and all of us are here.
Thank you, Chair, for that. So the question posed on the 88% of cooperatives that have failed, I think obviously that's correct. In the presentation, we didn't see the delineation of how many co-ops, as we say, are not operational, have failed, perhaps as a result of our intervention. We will just have to go back to the study conducted by the DTI and understand the methodology, because it could be that it was an overall study of all co-ops, not only those that were supported by DSP, by government, DTI rather, in 2009. And perhaps, Chair, having that study, we will then be able to collate the information that we have and see what is the picture by 2017. And so we promise that we can do that exercise. matrix should have included a column that talks to the action, and I think we acknowledge that chair and members that instead of just focusing on the status, it's also then important to talk to if we highlight there are challenges in water, in lack of access to markets, in infrastructure and so on, what action we should intervene as the department. And I think we acknowledge that. So as part of the discussions that we're having with municipalities, we will definitely highlight that. As I indicated, those municipalities that wanted from us specifically, what must they do? So we have communicated to them. So I think an action column, I think it's important so that in a sense that the report is comprehensive. I think the issue of cooperatives that couldn't be reached came out very strongly today, and I think we, in our lessons, we have acknowledged that the mistake done was for the 400 list to only list one member, even though the co-op doesn't have one member.
That is not what created the problem. What created the problem is your verification method. You only interact with the cooperative, yet a cooperative is from a municipality in a particular ward. And in that ward, there is even a ward committee. So you are neglecting government structures that would have assisted you to know where this cooperative is from and to monitor and ensure that, A, one, it does exist. Number two, it gets all the assistance because it is known by the ward committee, chaired by the ward councillor. It is known by the LED of a municipality. And when then this cooperative applies, you check with that municipality. And the municipality, through the office of the LED, captures that cooperative in the IDP to trigger other services. Even before you fund, you would have got the commitment that other departments would also provide other required services because this project is in the IDP. Because it is a fruitless exercise to fund this cooperative, which is not going to get water license, which is also operating at an area that is zoned for a different thing. Like the poultry cooperative that we saw in Mpumalanga, that is in a residential area, which tells us that no feasibility study was done, and the municipality would have indicated how that area is. It's a residential area, therefore a project of this nature cannot be done in that area. That is what we are saying. Not only the contact details of a chairperson, you are a government and there are government systems that would have made it possible for you to know what is happening.
Chair, thank you for the point. I think you are correct there. So that's just the weakness in the system of not incorporating the government system. So going forward, we believe, emphasizing the point of intergovernmental relations, we will correct all those weaknesses so that not only we have possession of the contact numbers of members, but also of, as you say, up to the ward committee, so that in essence, the enterprises that have started at that level are known in the government system. And a question on whether the public feels the impact of the co-op. Again, Chair and members, perhaps the two things. One is when all the credible information has been received and analyzed, we'll be able to determine the status of the impact of these co-ops. I think my mistake is I didn't put some of the, as I mentioned, some success stories, mentioned some co-ops that were having contracts with Pick and Pay, with Spare. Otherwise, in the reporting, there were cases where the assessment revealed that some of the co-ops have contracts, and perhaps is to drill into those case studies and pull them out so that we can know, as I think one member mentioned, if there's 400, out of those 400, how many would be having contracts with a constant market. So the other methodology, Chair and members, will then be the review that DG referred to. We just have to, again, make sure when CIS and BBSDP are reviewed, some of that data can also come out of the review.
Excuse me. The DG said there is an observation that from 2011, there's been a decline in the registration of cooperatives. That is an indication that people do not feel that the benefits of registering a cooperative, because a report has already come out in 2009, 88% failure rate. Why should I register a cooperative because my life doesn't change? So there is already information. I was expecting that in your response you would talk to that. Because even those cooperatives that you have just funded, people there are frustrated. That's why members here are frustrated. The fact that they are not sustainable and viable is the cause for the decline in registration. So they would not register more cooperatives.
Thanks for that input, and perhaps it will then assist us in the department to have all of those findings in place so that we can see the trends. But my own observation of research is that if research is conducted, and hence it will be important to see that 2009 research, the methodology, how many, at that time, how many co-ops were in the country, and what caused them to fail?
There were 22,000.
22,000. Okay. Thank you, Chair.
It's your report. You should know better. I mean, I read what was produced by you, and I know that there were 22,000. It's in your report. Were you not with DGI in 2009?
Chair, in the DGI, because we are divisions, I was in the small business section, not in the co-ops section. So you can ask me, Chair, about number of SMMEs. At least that's the area I was working on. So I've recently been deployed to co-ops from April. So I will have to go through that data and statistics and analyze it.
That's the first thing I read when I was deployed here, to familiarize myself with what was happening in cooperatives.
Thank you, Chair. That's a fair observation. Then the question on the whether the in Citibank equipment would
deliver. You want to say something?
Yeah, I don't know whether I'll be out of order, but I really feel sorry for the presenter. If it's only 4 months and you are trying to clean up what has been happening, I do not know. Maybe the DG will have to look really whether it's not sacrificing the the member really to deploy him in this unit where a lot of mess needs to be cleaned. I don't think it's fair to him. But well, I do not know the organogram of the department. But from SME to cooperative, and in that environment, there's this kind of a mess, and give that person such a huge responsibility. I think he has been put in a deeper end. I'm sorry to say that. But it's just an expression, Chair. I don't have any solution, but I'm expressing myself that we'll be hard on someone who needs us step by step. Thanks.
Honorable
Chairperson, I want to endorse what my colleague is saying, because there are people who have been part of the department of cooperatives who have been assigned and who have been paid to ensure that development does take place. So I think that they should be the ones who should be answering the questions, rather than a person who's just a week or less than a month in this side of the department being thrown in the deep end. It's true that we feel sorry for him, but we appreciate the effort that he's making. But can those that have been with the department all the time maybe account? Thank you.
DJ, who has been with the cooperatives unit when these cooperatives were funded and all that?
Chair, Jeff and Tumo has been the person who's been with the cooperatives for the longest period. We do not have a position for a director cooperative. Jeff's been working with a team of deputy directors. The other person who worked in the area of cooperatives is Elise, who was responsible for a lot of the research. She remains responsible for the research. And Elise Kokomo, she's appeared in front of this committee. The other one is Fina, who was responsible for the transversal agreement and the stakeholder partnerships, and she continues to do that work. And as I said earlier, the person who would best have been able to lead this unit of work would have been Jeff, and he is out of the country at present to do the reporting today.
And who's responsible for CIF?
Kholani.
Who's responsible for China?
Jeff.
Okay. In Cedar?
I don't know who the person is in Cedar who's responsible for them.
Let's do this.
How long has the gentleman been deployed? Is it a week only? But how long has he been deployed to this side to deal with cooperatives?
Since the 1st of April.
Since?
The 1st of April.
Let us do this. Let us make our work easy so that we can move and do the right thing. Let us stop this meeting, because all of us have said that we are not happy. But what is coming up here is that Memani is being launched. He can't respond to most of the questions that have been raised because he is new. He's only been there from the 1st of April. And the work that we are talking about is what happened since 2014. Up to where we are. Let us give the department time. Maybe a week or two. We will give you the exact date. Bring here the people who are responsible for cooperatives. Bring Jeff, bring Tulare, Kholane, bring Fina, and bring the
LED directorate. That person was responsible for LED. And bring the person who is responsible for branding, marketing and branding, so that we can get to the bottom of what we want to see and hear. Because we are going to be talking in circles. But also we are going to be undertaking another oversight. Don't bring us junior officials who will complain and say that they don't even know why they are there with us. They were just told that they must go and join the portfolio committee on the oversight. And also they are not sitting in the executive meetings. Whatever they see here frustrating them, they have no influence, because people who are sitting in the executive as managers are not here, and they think differently from what they have seen, those officials. Which is why it is not surprising to us that your report contradicts the report of the oversight of the portfolio committee. Our report is saying something different from what this report is saying. So let us stop now here and give you another week. We will tell you the date and come back with a report of what we want to hear, and also bring here the officials that are responsible for all this, who are going to understand where we come from, because it doesn't serve any purpose to bring a person who is going to respond to questions here and say, I don't know in others, and then when he goes back there, he goes to his unit, those who are working continue doing what they have been doing, which has produced 88% failure rate. So let us stop.
Chair, just to avoid any possible confusion when they come back, would it not be an idea for you and the content advisor to put together a wish list? Exactly what it is that the committee is requesting the report should contain in writing, circulate it to us.